in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 167 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford, who's just investigating
you. I'm downloading a Gboard for my iPad.
I've enlightened you again, haven't I?
We'll see. I'll let you know.
It takes a bit of getting used to, yeah. It's a new way of typing. Try it on your iPhone or your Android, if you can.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, you kind of swipe between letters and you can type really fast on your phone.
Yeah, I should play with that.
Have a play. It's cool. It's got GIFs built into it that you can send to your pals and amuse yourself for hours. We're talking about the one this week, aren't we? Whether that person is the one or not, or how you can help yourself find the one.
The one.
Clues here and there. We'll dive into that in a sec. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, as I'm sure you know. If you don't, check it out. Free. Sign up for podcast alerts. If you put your email in the box, we'll send you weekly alerts. As soon as the show comes out, you can get yourself some free meditation files at the same time as well, as well as a discount on our book, Live in the Present, which we still need to order some more of those. Yeah, I'm on the case. But yeah, you should really have a look at. How are you doing, Sean? What you been up to?
I'm good. I'm studio and running, so developing the studio.
It's not called the attic anymore, it's the studio
now. It's the studio, yes.
It's upgraded.
My man cave. studio and audio books.
Yeah.
So the audio book of Live in the Present will be out fairly soon.
Cool.
Followed by audios of the other books and audios of new books. So my studio will be a productive factory up there.
Brilliant. Well, I'll be up there too, being productive, hey?
Yeah. It's fabulous being up there, and actually it feels like you're in a different place.
Yeah.
You're kind of away from the house, but because you're up in the air, you can hear the birds and things out the windows. It's quite amazing.
You need like an oxygen mask up there. And
Yeah, you get altitude sickness. You?
Cool. All right. Should we dive in?
What have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to?
Yeah. You get away with that.
No, yeah, all sorts. Just getting a bit of final work done, really, before I unplug and head off on some non-electricity time.
Yeah.
In the summer.
You're talking about you might be away for a month now.
Possibly, yeah. I will need to do quite a bit of work in the evenings and find some cafes with Wi-Fi.
Does that mean that I might need to come up and see you and record a podcast?
Possibly.
Down the end of the field, hanging over by the trampoline so that we can get the signal.
Yeah. Exactly, the famous trampoline. Yeah. We'll see how many we've got in the bank.
That's interesting, recording a podcast on the trampoline.
That would be a first, wouldn't it?
You're bouncing up and down.
The trampoline show. She set up a whole new... We could podcast while bouncing.
The mind boggles.
So, yeah, it's all good, all good. We've had a regular listener email in asking for a bit of advice, so let me set the scene for you for a second. Basically, youngest chap, but just struggling to realise whether he's found the one or not. Quite an adventurous chap, and I think
when you say the one, you'd be talking about relationships.
Yes. Yeah. He's in a relationship, but he's quite an adventurous chap. Travels around a lot. Loves to explore, loves to investigate all kind of philosophical things, as we do on this show. And part of it, of course, is listening to this show on a weekly basis, which he does so almost religiously.
Good.
Which we appreciate.
Yep.
But I think from what I got from the email is that, yeah, his partner, his fiancée, in fact, isn't quite the same philosophically, and he can't engage in that kind of interesting discussion as much as he'd like with her. But loves her dearly. Really sweet girl, apparently, but yeah, doesn't quite tick the box emotionally, perhaps. So are we kind of answering the question for him? Because he's reached out to us for advice on whether she could basically marry this girl or not.
Yeah.
He said in the email that kind of she ticks his boxes in a lot of ways, but not in others, which sound like quite important boxes that need to be ticked.
I think that it raises so many issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got you thinking. Well, you need to put a disclaimer here saying, yeah, if you follow the actions of Sean Orford, you may or may not lead to enlightenment.
I think that the thing from experience of working with people is a fundamental problem that I see over and over again, which is the one about someone says, I love you, the other one says, I love you too, and people skip off into the sunset without checking out what was meant by that.
Yeah.
And what that means for me and what I end up dealing with couples is, where are the rules of engagement? It's like, what's this relationship about? Mm-hmm. How are we going to make this work? You know, and one of the things about people having long-term engagements prior to committing to a relationship means that a lot of that stuff is sorted, is resolved. The problem where you have either an arranged marriage or marriages where people sort of fall together and then they stay together. I'm saying marriages, I mean, not necessarily actual marriages, but committed relationships.
Yep.
That you end up in a situation that, because things haven't been discussed or checked out, that later on down the line there's loads of confusion.
Mm.
So one of the things which is actually more common than maybe people might think is the amount of couples that get together because they're in love and they're having an amazing time, and then a bit down the line one of them says, well, and when are we going to have the kids? And the other one says, well, I don't want kids. And no one had ever stopped to talk about it, no one had ever stopped to see it or think it.
Yep.
And then you get huge problems then, which very often lead to split up.
Mm. I guess there are some fundamentals in a relationship, because I'm just looking at my situation, you know, in a happy, stable, loving relationship. But, you know, we don't tick all the boxes better than myself. Certainly kind of philosophically and what have you, you know, we're interested in different things big time, you know.
But that's okay.
That's
okay if that's the agreement, because it is the issue of rules of engagement.
It's
like, if I know couples who go away on holiday separately, who hardly ever have a holiday together.
Right.
But for them that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do work with people that work, I don't know, on oil rigs or whatever, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've worked with service personnel and with sailors, captains of boats who are away for weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe even months. But they'll say to me, but yeah, every 6 weeks we have a honeymoon. It's amazing, you know. But it's what works, is it?
Yeah.
And so I think that the issue isn't that there is a set of rights and wrongs here. The issue is the rules of engagement. Do we agree a way to come together and be together?
Uh-huh.
And that's the bit that is tends not to be negotiated at the outset.
Yeah.
And then people are doing it on the hoof and being surprised by it.
Yeah.
So I have actually been in the position in the consulting room where I've had couples come to me at the outset of a relationship, which is quite a foresightful thing to do, in the sense of two people saying, we're planning to come together forever. We want to work through this and kind of get it right at the outset. Yeah, which is rare, but it's happened to me quite a few times now.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea of trying to work out, if we're going to be an entity, what is that entity? And for me, it's almost like it's a business, it's a company. And when you have a business, it has a mission statement, and the mission statement states what the purpose of the enterprise is. What are the parameters? What's it going to do?
I think it's quite important to put that mission statement for a business or a... Obviously, at the moment in the news, there's a lot of talk about the EU, Brexit and all that stuff. The EU is a massively complicated thing, and actually unravelling ourselves from it, I think, is almost impossible, because as the next coming years are going to show. But the actual mission statement of the EU is quite simple and quite beautiful, actually. And yeah, I know it's gone off track a little bit, and it's got bureaucratic nonsense, blah, blah, blah. But if you just look at that initial simple mission statement, which is to do with basically bringing all countries in Europe to a similar standard of living, kind of having certain social values and, you know, entitlement for all, and it's a really beautiful mission statement. And I think that alone is enough to kind of mean that we should carry on working together.
One of the problems in terms of the principles that we're talking about here now with the EU is that the mission statement maybe wasn't agreed by everybody.
Yeah.
And the rules of engagement weren't agreed because they didn't match. Things like, the classic to me was that Greece's retirement age was 55, and at the time ours was 65.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a mismatch that doesn't work. Mm. It can't work financially, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that was got wrong. It was the rules of engagement that didn't work.
But maybe the I know with something like that, you've got to have it also got to be written down. But in terms of relationships, a simple mission statement allows for room to move, doesn't it? Because the trouble is, if you have a mission statement or you write something down that's too complicated and tries to cover every single area, you're going to miss things.
Well, no. I'm disputing that, because what I do with couples these days, whether they are couples at the outset or couples that are trying to rebuild, is we actually do a contract, and that contract has sections. So it starts off with a mission statement. What does it mean to be a part of us, the Smiths? What's that going to be?
Yeah.
And then it starts to look at plans, ideas, and images. It looks at the deeper spiritual things. What is it? You know, what's about life, death, the universe, all that kind of stuff. It looks at the organisational moral codes and the authority bits. You know, about fidelity and all that kind of stuff. Then it looks at ego and power. It looks at how we're going to share our money. How does that work?
Yeah.
And then it looks at the intellectual pursuits, hobbies, interests, you know, do we do them together? Like you're saying, you guys do separate things. It's like, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Then it looks at the social bit, the friends, how we interact on that social level.
Okay.
What do we expect? What do we need? And then it looks at all the sensual, sexual stuff and then all the physical stuff. And we go right through the lot, but we actually write things down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with those things, with most couples that I've done that with, we will set a contract and they will then work out the contract. And then we will meet a year after the signing of the contract to review how it's gone.
Okay.
And that might mean that, no, the contract's been broken and you can bugger off kind of thing. Or it might mean that we need to adjust the contract a bit to make it fit with the turn. Or it might mean that, no, it's fabulous.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I guess what I'm thinking of in terms of my simple, beautiful 12-word contract is that we are, as human beings, all growing. You know, certain people grow in different ways. Certain people want to travel the world. And relationships can exist with people doing different things, can't they?
Yeah.
But we are growing and changing all the time. So I think if you have something that's too detailed and specific, it's gonna break within months.
But if you build into the contract the issue of growing and changing and developing, it's in the contract.
Okay, a little clause in small print.
Yeah. Appendix 5, subsection 3.
Yeah.
Those things have to be built into it.
And you've got to have an Article 50 as well.
Yeah, so how do I get out of this? Yeah. Well, that's real too.
Which no one's brave enough to implement.
Press the button.
Yeah, I'm not doing it, you do it.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. Okay, yeah, interesting. Well, because, yeah, no, thinking how my relationship started, Bethan and I had quite a long period before we got engaged, or even before we actually started going out. It was quite unique, really. I knew B for like 6 years before we started going out.
Yeah, right.
And during that time, we were off at university, different universities, doing different things, and still meeting up and saying hi. But always kind of knew, hang on, there's something, yeah, there's something that's going to happen here at some point. But then, even after we got engaged, no, we started going out. It was a few years before we got engaged, so we took our time. Which, and I know you get these relationships, were kind of. We got married 6 weeks after we met, or whatever, in Las Vegas. So I would always go on the side of caution and just say, you know, life is long, don't rush it. Enjoy that initial period, take your time to get this contract, even if it's not a written contract.
Yeah.
They start to form in your head, don't they?
I guess that the contracting that I'm doing with couples comes out of the fact that people didn't have that time where they kind of habituated to each other. You know, they came in too quickly and now they're having to kind of regroup and do a kind of a backward motion to try and get it right.
Mm.
Whereas I guess when you think about what you're describing with you and Bethan is that you did have that time to get to know each other in lots of different ways and know lots about each other before you actually came together.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in long engagements. But when you are in that situation, and I do see that, where people have been together for 5 minutes and then they're committed to each other and in 6 weeks they're kind of married or whatever.
Mm.
And it's like, whoa, you know, at some point there's going to have to be some pretty severe adjustments in here.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say that it's a disaster or it's going to fail, but sometimes it needs a bit of steering and guiding, either from inside or outside, to make it work properly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Mm. And I always think people, and because I do this quite a lot, is working with couples that came from arranged marriages, where they may have actually only met the person that they're with for an hour before they got married, or maybe they have not met them at all. And the first time that the man sees the woman is when the woman lifts the veil, you know. And from that point of view, I mean, lots of arranged marriages like that say to me that the relationship happens first and the love comes later.
Yeah.
And I think if two people do have the capacity to work with each other in a kind of a loving, sharing way, then I think that can happen.
Yeah, well, yeah, we shouldn't look down on it too much.
No,
obviously, it's quite a foreign thing for us in the West, isn't it? But there must be some merits to it. I'm sure that
if the parents are wise and they know the children, it could be a better option. I don't know. We have a very high divorce rate in the West,
you know? Yeah.
But I think that the issue isn't about whether the way we do things is right or wrong anymore. It's about how do we adjust it once we've done it. You know, I mean, the person that's emailed in is in a situation where they are in that pre-relationship situation, as in pre-commitment to
yep.
it. And I think that, in a way, the fact that they've emailed in is fabulous, because it means that they're thinking about it and they're connected with it, and they're being very responsible for it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, he knows that it's a big decision, and he's obviously got the time to think it through.
So my thing would be to... and if the person wants to email me direct, I'll send them what I see as my contract sheets that I use.
Yep.
But if you can go through each of those areas of human interaction, and in this case, like the intimate interaction, then and you're clear about it, you have a much better idea about whether we are going to be able to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I do when I do it with couples is I will get them to do the sheets individually, not together. And then they give the sheets back to me. So they haven't seen each other's sheets.
Okay, so there is real honesty there.
Yeah, so then we start to... And very often, when things are different, it's not that that's a problem that can't be solved. It's more like, okay, we need to communicate about this.
Mm.
And very often it's ourselves, well, I didn't realise that you felt that or that it was like that for you. And then there is a movement on both sides that brings us to that median, is like mediation.
Yeah.
And that when you see that happen, it's really good. It's really amazing. Because people have spent that time kind of nurturing it and resolving it, and they go off and you can see the smiley faces in the good relationship that they're having. You know? It's great. It's good.
There's that whole elastic issue as well, isn't there, which I always think is a good analogy in terms of when you're not together, how do you feel? You know, because that's a good little barometer, isn't it? Are you pulled back immediately, or is there no elastic there at all, and you're kind of
The elastic's kind of got perished, and
it's
a bit kind of floppy.
So having a bit of faith and trust in that elastic, it's quite a good barometer.
I describe in the Nicker Elastic book about it's the dance of life. It's the you go off. It's like Ree goes off to work. And I got to do my work. So the elastic has been stretched. But the dance is as the elastic pulls us back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And throughout the day or the week, the elastic is going to be pulling, stretching out, pulling back. Yeah. And that pulling back is the desire to be together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is true that when the elastic either stretches so far it snaps or gets kind of complacent, so there's no pull in it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's when relationships get a bit kind of...
Yeah,
there's no energy left in
little indicators, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because, I go home every day. I mean, almost just by default, really, you know, but it's not like I'm wishing that I was elsewhere at any stage.
Mm.
I want to get back and see the little freaks and
like
love our little tea time routine and all that and bedtime lark.
Mm. Mm.
It's good fun.
And one of the things that I did my sentimental part was we've got David Cameron has just left office. And outside number 10, he had his kids and his wife there. And he was talking about the kids and the kids growing up and in number 10 and all that stuff. And then he described his wife as the love of his life. And it wasn't like a big, heavy statement. It was just like a statement of kind of clearly felt emotion. And I thought, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? A, that he could feel it, but B, that he said it.
I know. I mean, yeah, whatever your politics are, I think it's been quite interesting watching how he's gone. Because I read something about kind of the day after he left Downing Street, he moved into his £16 million townhouse in Mayfair or whatever, which is all right, fair dues. But I read a report how he'd gone for a coffee and a pastry the next morning in a local cafe after dropping the kids off at school, and he'd met George Osborne there weren't any photos, the security were everywhere, but they went to interview the guy that owns the cafe. Mm. And he said, oh yeah, he used to come in here all the time before he was PM, I haven't seen him in years. Mm. But I got this quite nice little idea of him and George just sitting there without the kind of the worry of the world on their shoulders.
Yep.
Just talking about how they just take the kids to school yeah. and yeah. what you're going to go to today. Obviously, yeah. they're MPs still, so they've got work yeah. to do, but I think it's quite a nice little thought, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll do. It's a tough gig, PM, isn't it?
Yeah.
So give them a little yeah. bit of juice.
Yeah.
And allow them to
yeah.
enjoy the moment.
Yeah, people. And the fact that they have... that he and his wife obviously have that good, positive relationship. And you can see it when they're together.
Yeah.
You can see it in a couple, can't you?
Yeah, they've got that kids, man.
Connection between. It's lovely. It's good.
So, yeah. Hey-ho. I can see you haven't got a resource written down, so what are you going to make up on the
hoof? No, I'm not going to make
anything. Which one of your books are you going
to
mention?
Yeah, no, it has to be the Knicker Elastic book, because that's what it's about.
I'll write it in here.
Yeah, Knicker Elastic is all about what is it that creates security and stability in couples and relationships. How do they work? And that's what it's about. If both of you have got powerful elastic connected to each other that keeps you together and pulls you together.
Yeah.
But the reason why it's called What Colour Is It? Is that the colour of the elastic is the rules of engagement. It's because you get kind of relationships that are dominated by physicality or intellectual or emotion or cognitive or intuitive. It's like they're different kinds of relationships.
Yeah.
And when the relationship is right, both people have bought into the rules of engagement.
Mm.
Then they have a good, fulfilling
cool.
time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll link to that. Mine's a playlist on TED.com, TED Talks, which has got... seven or eight talks that might just save your relationship. So it's got things like what you don't know about marriage, why we love, why we cheat. This is, yeah, like I say, seven or eight talks, which you can just dive in and have a look at.
Yeah.
Some good stuff to learn there either way.
Yeah.
So, I hope that's helped in some way, dear listener. If not, yeah. drop us a line.
Yeah.
And is there anything else out there that we've missed, folks, do email us in because we're... open to suggestion on the show, aren't we, for...
Yeah, all the time.
...future discussion.
Yeah, our rules of engagement are that we're open to suggestion.
It's a written... it's a very loose contract. Yeah, we'll be back next week for more. In the meantime, visit livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links.
I will.
Please do.
I will.
there'll be a blog about this
as
well. Sean writes a weekly blog about every episode too, if reading is more your thing.
Yeah.
Till then, take it easy.
Yeah, and you.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.